Those damn alien bastards are real. The government confirmed it. What the fuck? Why don't I feel anything? Is it just because I'm so used to hearing new headlines supposedly confirming the existence of aliens? Maybe they just aren't a sufficient enough distraction from the crushing weight of an unsustainable economy. How the hell can I care? Are they gonna help me pay rent? I'm trying to figure out how I'm gonna put food on the table this month. What, the government found little space guys but can't find me a goddamn healthcare plan? The king wants to own a home one day. Are those damn alien bastards gonna help make that a reality? Are those damn alien bastards gonna help rebuild this broken housing market? I wonder if they're as old as our geriatric leadership. Or are they even real? I gotta tell ya, I've believed aliens are real my whole life, until the government said it. Now I'm not so sure. You can keep your damn alien bastards. I got work in the morning.
You can deny all the things I've seen, all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer. Because too many others know what's happening out there. And no one, no government agency has jurisdiction over the truth.
The truth is out there. Podzilla 1985, we're going to discover the truth. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight for I Want to Believe here on the Podzilla 1985 Network.
Was that spooky enough? Was that like, you know?
Oh, you got to talk like that the rest of the
for,
show.
For Dalton, yes. No. When Dalton boots this up, he'll be spooked immediately.
Oh, he's not going to boot he'll this up. This is the scary show. He won't touch it with a 10-foot clown pole. This is I Want to Believe here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. It's our first show in a couple of weeks, maybe even a month or two, but with good reason that we're back, because big things are happening, and tonight we're going to discuss it. Of course, if you've been paying attention to the news lately, you know everything that's going on with Congress and with the whistleblowers and the potential exposure of extraterrestrial visits and to Earth, and it's an insane topic. I can't believe we're talking about it after all these years of you know, kind of hinting at it. Here we go. Let's jump into it. With me, of course, tonight, we have the man himself, Tanner Calvert.
Yo, yo, yo.
You happy with that one?
I'm also trying to email a certain person about being a guest soon, so
all
that's
right.
All I got right now.
Confirmed, Carrot Top,
good
live
time.
On I Want to Believe, coming soon.
Yep.
And Double H,
how'd you know?
He is an anomaly. I was, before that got weird, I was just going to give you an I'm all about it.
He is all about it. He's all about the aliens, and I'm happy about that, because there is a lot to discuss tonight. if you tuned in to the most recent edition of Podzilla After Dark, this is the same show. Just go listen to that.
Yeah, probably.
This is going to be a retread of a lot of those things. And what had happened is last week, was it last week or the week before last?
Last week.
That was last week. Yeah.
So last week, three men went in front of the in front of Congress to talk about the alleged UAP, which is their new term for UFOs, unidentified aerial phenomena, the potential of the United States military both being aware that extraterrestrials are on Earth and having their technology, having crash ships, having biological entities that crash along with it, and the big conspiracy, etc., etc. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight, mostly. Now, we'll start off by confirming that, Tanner, you might not know this, the aliens are coming. It's been confirmed. They're coming to Dead by Daylight, and the Xenomorphs are the newest character in the popular horror series, Dead by Daylight.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't either.
I didn't care for that game. I'm not going to lie.
I didn't either. But it does make sense, because that game specifically is all about stringing people up, and then you have to like rescue them. That fits very well with aliens, because the Xenomorphs do string you up and then lay little eggs inside of you.
It is wild as hell to me that Dead by Daylight has become the horror Fortnite.
Yes.
Like that, that's just, I mean, it's got everybody. It's even got Nicolas Cage.
As Nicolas Cage.
He's just there. Yeah, as Nicolas Cage. It's not like, you know, the Resident Evil characters that have been added or
Evil Dead
or any of the other, like, horror icons. He's just Nicolas Cage. Which is funny because when I think of Nicolas Cage, I don't think of horror icon. I'm not mad about it. It's Nicolas Cage. I'm never upset to see Nicolas Cage somewhere.
Well, Nicolas Cage. All right. So, look, guys, we're going to talk about Aliens. Give us a second. Now, let's dive into this because I need to mention it.
He's in Bringing Out the Dead, right?
He's in a handful of pretty good horror films. He was in, even most recently, he was in Pay the Ghost. He was in Mandy, not Kennedy.
Mandy was the one I was trying to think of.
He was in Renfield as Dracula.
Oh, yeah. Which has got to be where that promotion came from.
Yeah, but it wasn't. But he's not Dracula, which is the weird part. He's just Nick Cage, like you said.
He's just Nicolas Cage.
Which is honestly scarier than Dracula. He was also in, I really like this film, I don't know if anyone else did, I think it was well received, The Color Out of Space, which is a Lovecraft story. It's on Shudder. I thought he was really good in that. There's a particular scene that is legitimately upsetting.
Yeah, I never did see that. I've read of it. I haven't read the full story, but I'm aware of like how it works and what it does. I think we'd be remiss too if we left out The Wicker Man, which is technically supposed to be a horror movie.
Technically, yes.
And there's a lot of scary shit about it.
Yeah, probably not for the reasons they meant, but absolutely.
The editing, the composition,
the dialogue, the acting.
Dialogue's pretty bad, yeah.
Very frightening. But you're going to have to stay tuned to an all-new episode of Extras and Epilogues to hear us talk more about film. Which, by the way, Hunter, cheap plug, tomorrow's an all-new episode of Extras and Epilogues, and it's scary. It's scary.
Yeah, and if you like the cast that you hear tonight, just stick around, because it's the exact same people. We're bringing Tanner back. We're covering the we're sticking with 1999 for now. We're covering the original, The Blair Witch Project.
The Blair Witch Project.
Which Sarah and I watched again earlier today, and I have a lot of thoughts. I have a lot of things I want to say about this movie.
Good or bad?
Well,
both.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
I need to rewatch it. It's been a while.
I'll give you a brief preview. It is a phenomenon, and when the phenomenon's not there, the movie itself is not that great. That's what I'll say about it.
Tanner, stop. We can't do it tonight.
We don't have time.
We don't have time. We'll have to do it tomorrow.
I am waiting patiently.
Thank you. Tonight, we're talking about actual potential horror in that if you've been listening to this show for any amount of time, and God willing you have been, you will know that one of our favorite topics to talk about here is, one, extraterrestrials and the potential existence thereof, and two, our genuine concern that all of these, whether you call them UFOs or UAPs, what have you, that have been documented and that have appeared, especially in the past, 20 years, that we want them taken seriously as a threat to national security, because that's exactly what they are, whether they're extraterrestrial or otherwise. When you have a foreign entity, whether it's from this country or, I'm sorry, this planet or not from this planet, that's in your airspace and you don't know what it is, that's scary. And everyone should be afraid of that. And what they have done now is said outright that those things really exist. They didn't say they were extraterrestrial, but they said those things actually exist. They are actually in our airspace, and we don't know what they are. That's where it started. And that came out a couple years ago, thanks to the work of Blink-182 frontman Tom DeLonge and Luis Elizondo from the UAP Task Force. I forget the exact name of it. It's a long name. I've never remembered it, but that's what it is. And they basically declassified all of these incidents, all of these reports from these pilots, from civilians, from military, about these UAPs, UFOs, what have you, that they have experienced personally. And it's gone from being a thing that we kind of talked about in the hopes that one day we would know more to being something that we absolutely were staring right down the barrel of. And I thought that was going to be where it ended. I thought the fact that they said these UAPs are real, we don't know what they are, I thought that was it, and then that was going to be the rest of it. Well, I was wrong, because this week alone, or last week, I'm sorry, when they went in front of Congress, it wasn't just, we have things that we don't know what that is in our airspace and we need to find out what they are. It was flat out, we have extraterrestrials and we want more transparency for that.
Real quick, the agency I think you're talking about, it's through the Pentagon. It's the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. So it's the AARO, if we're talking about the same organization.
It wasn't that one. It wasn't that one. Because
So Congress established, according to the... Because we pulled from a couple of different things here.
I found it.
CBS article, Congress established the AARO to investigate those incidents of UAP recordings, especially that were government documented, that were encountered by government officials, military, airmen, and that sort of thing.
I'm speaking about the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, the AATIP.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so that, I think, is the old program. Is that the new program that you mentioned?
This one is through the Pentagon, and it was established to investigate those incidents, and they've done so. As of this May, they have done about, it says, roughly 800 reports of UAPs. So, right. And importantly, A is no longer aerial. A is now, so UFO, the old term, we've talked about this a couple times, but the old terminology was UFO, unidentified flying object. That then became UAP, unidentified aerial phenomena. The A now is more commonly being used as anomalous. So it's not necessarily aerial. That way it can be applied to things that aren't. Unidentified anomalous phenomena.
Which makes sense, Tanner, because a lot of UFOs that are seen aren't just in the air. You're talking about underwater crafts. You're talking about all kinds of things that wouldn't necessarily fit in the aerial
category. I found out during these hearings that UAP doesn't actually stand for unidentified aerial phenomenon. There's another term for it. I'm actually trying to look it up.
Is it the exact thing Hunter just said? Because that would be funny.
Anomalous.
I think so. Yes. Yeah. Sorry, I was still in the middle of it. That's it. So yeah, that wins the idea.
Who smoked before the show? Me or you?
Everyone, put your hands up.
Really, really quick. I thought before we get into the arguing, because here's how it's going to go. It's on my screen. It's funny. It's funny to me that on my screen for the recording, Hunter is on top, Tanner's in the bottom, and I'm in the middle. That's ironic because Hunter is that's where we are. Hunter is the skeptic.
That's the line.
Tanner's the believer, and I'm in the middle. So this is very accurate. And what's going to happen is we're going to talk about it, and we're going to be respectful, obviously, because we always are.
Yeah.
But we're going to disagree on a lot of things, and we're going to discuss a lot of things, and that's what it should be. That's what, discussion is. But before we get into that, I thought it would be fun to set the tone a little bit lighter, and I have an MSN article here of the 21 celebrities who believed aliens existed before whistleblower David Grush's congressional UFO hearing. I thought it'd be fun to explore that for a second. So going down the list, you have Tom DeLonge, who, of course, formed to the Stars Academy and has been a big proponent of exposing these things and doing that. So that's no surprise. But then it gets a little bit more fun. Chris Brown, famous for his music and his punching skills, said, quote, and I love this quote. This is why I wanted to talk about it. He said, "I know this is hella random, but don't fall for the fake UFO, UAP false flags. Extraterrestrials have been visiting us for a long time. Some live amongst us. We are the only destructive species dooming our existence. Don't let them run with this narrative. Just say I'm crazy, but also make your own judgments." You're not crazy. You're stupid. There's a difference.
There's a big difference.
Big difference. A big there. Difference. Jaden Smith.
Sure.
Against his father's wishes.
Well, it's
wishes.
Easy to believe in aliens when you are one. Right? I mean, that's
Against his father's wishes, during a meeting with then President Barack Hussein Obama, Jaden Smith reportedly asked about aliens. According to Dad Will, Obama replied, "Okay, I can neither confirm nor deny the existence of extraterrestrials, but I can tell you if there had been a top secret meeting, if there would have had to have been a discussion about it, it would have taken place in this room." Obama is one of the people that kind of came out originally and said, "Yeah, it's real." So.
I don't want to make this take forever, but I kind of love when a government official says, "I can neither confirm nor deny that," and everyone goes, "Oh, okay, well that means that it's real."
That's a confirm.
No, that means Because we can also say, I can literally say right now and mean it 100% with all the veracity I've got, I can neither confirm nor deny the existence of aliens, because I don't fucking know.
Oh,
that's all that means.
Tanner, Hunter's just confirmed aliens are real, and he knows about it.
That's all it means.
Oh, my God. Demi Lovato. Of course, Demi Lovato has long believed in aliens, even claiming to have seen a UFO herself. In fact, if I remember correctly, she had a show out that was paranormal.
That was about ghosts.
Yeah.
Well, that was ghosts.
She sang to
which
the ghost.
I was thinking she was the one who said she had sex with a ghost, but that was Kesha, wasn't
that
it?
That was Kesha. Yeah, that
was Kesha. Okay.
And I remember...
Kesha's show was allegedly better than Demi.
Well, I was supposed to go on a date with Kesha, but she said she had to go have sex with a ghost, and I was like, well, that's why you said you had to go have sex with that ghost. Demi Lovato was also ahead of the curve in asking us to stop using the word alien when referring to extraterrestrials. We will not. Anyway.
Why is that such a problem?
I think she said it's offensive to them. Hold on. Demi Lovato thinks alien is a derogatory term to E.T. Moving along, Katy Perry... She said she believes in aliens. Cool. Miley Cyrus said that she was once chased down by a UFO, although she did admit...
You can't tell me any otherwise.
She did confirm, though, that it could have been the weed wax. So... I don't know how to pronounce this name. Boy. Gigi Hadid?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay. She believes in him. Kendall Jenner saw one. Khloe Kardashian saw one. That could have just been their mom. It's
probably the same incident.
Without her makeup on. Correct. Russell Crowe.
Or with it.
Russell Crowe uploaded a video to Twitter, which he thought was a UFO. Keanu Reeves definitely believes him. All right, none of these are as fun as the originals were.
Keanu Reeves is pretty neat.
With it, just that he believes in him?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean,
and he's pretty neat in general, you know.
I like to believe that most sane people believe that aliens exist because, as we've discussed before, now, are they traveling to Earth and interacting with us? That's another story. Do they exist somewhere in the universe? I mean, they kind of have to. It's hard to believe that there's infinite space and we're the only. Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, I think we long ago, but we do this show so infrequently that sometimes we have to restate these things. I think we long ago came to the agreement that something biological has to be out there somewhere. Now, again, we're not talking about grays necessarily. We're not talking about, you know, like literally the idea of biological life, a fucking cell organism existing somewhere is almost impossible to not believe.
Yeah, it's a
we got very close, as I recall, to proving it. I don't think we necessarily got to that point, but there was something found on Mars that was thought to be biological, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
like, or maybe it was.
I'm pretty sure it was. It was some kind of organism, but it was like a really basic organism. It wasn't something that's going to build a spaceship or anything like that.
No, not yet.
But again, I'd like to think that most sane people believe it. Now, the question is, have they visited Earth? Let's jump into it. Let's get to the meat and potatoes of it. David Grush, who's so kind as to write out a bunch of notes for us here, and I always appreciate that because I never have time to do it anymore. David Grush served 14 years as an intelligence officer in the Air Force and National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, appeared before the House Oversight Committee's National Security Subcommittee alongside two former fighter pilots who had firsthand experience with UFOs. And Hunter, I'm going to let you to read the next part there.
Okay.
For no reason.
The takeaway from this, and I just put a couple of bullet points on here, but they're mostly the opening paragraphs, again, from the CBS article, which we can link later. So Grush himself was representative on a couple of Pentagon task forces that investigated UAPs until earlier this year. The reason for this meeting is that he told the lawmakers, who were the heads of the subcommittee, that he was informed of, and I'm quoting now from him directly, a multi-decade UAP crash retrieval and reverse engineering program. And this is something he found out while he was examining classified programs. He says when basically he asked for access to them, he was denied that access, and in turn is now accusing the military of misappropriating its funds to shield those operations from congressional oversight. So basically they're spending their money to make sure that no one sees what they're doing. Importantly, and it doesn't say this here, but if you go read the full article, it gets made very clear, and this is a point I wanted to make before we will get into this. David Grush himself confirmed that he himself has not seen any of this stuff.
Right.
Not in person, anyway. He said specifically that he has interviewed, I think it was around 40 individuals and officials who had direct knowledge of these things, and that he has seen photographic evidence of what he called aircraft with non-human origins, and that there were biologics recovered from some of the craft. So importantly, he never specifically said biological entities. He didn't say anything about aliens other than there was some sort of biologic that was present there.
Which, I mean, of course, if you've got a non-human craft and you say you've recovered biologics from it, what's your first, the first place your brain's going to go to is extraterrestrial. I mean, of course. Because
some people would say that maybe non-biological means a dog or
Jesse
or
Kimball.
What?
Jesse Kimball believes that. You can go back and listen to our 30-minute argument from last week, and then what you missed is the hour-long argument that followed with Kaz on Xbox Live.
While we somehow played Diablo simultaneously.
Poorly played Diablo simultaneously. In fact, to the point that we had to stop talking because we kept dying. We're like, okay, guys, we got to focus. This is a nightmare dungeon.
Let's kill the butcher, and then we'll get back.
My big question about this is, and there's a lot of things that we're going to probably skip around and talk about and go back to. And again, if you don't know the situation already, look it up, because there's a lot that goes to it. We're not going to discuss everything. But one of the things that really gets to me is the fact that this David Grush said that he has evidence, that he has the evidence and wants. And this was a major sticking point in our conversation, if you go back and listen to it, is that why would you do all this and not provide evidence? And then my argument was it's not the same as someone saying, I know this happened, and then and you going, okay, where's your proof? And him saying, well, I don't have proof. Because this guy says he does have proof. He has the proof, and he wants to reveal it behind closed doors for, you know, safety reasons, et cetera, et cetera. But in hearing this, and hearing you talk about that, Hunter, and reading this for myself, my question is, if he has no experience with this personally, how does he have proof?
Yeah, I want to clarify something real quick, because I was looking this over trying to find the specific bits here. David Grush himself was again quoted as saying, "My testimony is based on information I have been given by individuals with a long-standing track record of legitimacy and service to this country, many of whom also shared compelling evidence in the form of photography, official documentation, and classified oral testimony." The more I'm reading this, and I might have missed this, or it's not in one of these specifics. The way I'm understanding it is David Grush himself does not specifically have evidence. He knows who does, and he's saying these are the people you need to talk to. That's what he could not talk about in person. It says specifically that several times he had to deflect on questions, saying he can only elaborate in an SCIF, which is a sensitive compartmented information facility, basically somewhere where only he will be heard, no recording devices are present, and only the people who need to know hear about this stuff.
Okay. That actually makes a lot more sense, because if David Grush himself is not the one with the evidence, but he knows who does, and he wants to reveal it behind closed doors because he's... I mean, the whole argument of this is that this exists, these things exist, and there is a conspiracy to cover it up. If that is true, and the dude has knowledge of who has the information, of course he's not going to want to say it out loud, because if he says it out loud in front of a camera, people could get hurt, people could die. Because in his testimony, he did say that people have been hurt and potentially murdered over this. So
No, he did not. No, and he said he could not comment about that.
I recant my testimony.
Those instances include when he was asked if the government has had any contact with aliens and whether anyone had been murdered to cover up information about extraterrestrial technology. Grush said he could not comment on those things. So now, importantly, he didn't say that didn't happen. He just basically pled the fifth. He said, I cannot talk about those things.
If you've got that in front of you, please confirm this and tell me I'm not crazy. At one point, he was asked, has anyone been hurt over this? And he said, yes, personally.
He said, okay, so actually it comes right after that, and this is from the NPR article, and again, we can link both of these when we post the show. The former intelligence officer also told the panel that he and several other colleagues had been the targets of administrative terrorism. That's a quote. Those are his words. And that he has at times feared for his life since coming forward. He added, there is currently an open investigation into the matter, and said, quote, it was very brutal and very unfortunate. Some of the tactics they used to hurt me both professionally and personally.
Okay, so there has been retaliation of some sort, at least accused.
That is what he's alleging, yes.
Right. So again, I could see that if that were the case, he would want to reveal this behind closed doors. My question is, the people that he said has direct knowledge of this, did they not go to, you know, the proper authorities? Is he snitching them out? Is he working with them? I would love to know what the situation is that led him to testify before Congress and not the people who have the direct knowledge.
Like, and I could be wrong about this, but here's my speculation on that, is that this is strictly a case of choosing to make a choice, to make a decision there. In becoming a whistleblower, David Grush no longer works for the government, right? That's how that works.
Right.
When you make that step and you step off that platform, you cannot be part of that organization anymore. The two people that he has with him, the retired the Air Force pilot and the other, the Navy fighter pilot, again, are both, as I recall, one of them's a former pilot, one of them's retired. I don't know if they're both retired or not. These people are no longer part of those entities. So Grush, basically, the way I'm looking at it is, these people have this information. They're choosing not to share it. They're choosing to follow their orders, or they believe that it's better the way things are. They're too afraid to step forward, whatever. That's generally how a whistleblower works. So right. He's now stepping forward and saying, look, I can tell you who you need to talk to, but it has to be done behind closed doors. I can't put that person in danger, or I can tell you, I can give you an anonymous location to meet them. I don't know how that works, obviously, because I don't know what it is he's planning on doing. But my speculation is that he's going to give that information without incriminating anybody. So again, I can set you up with an anonymous look into this. And to be fair, behind those closed doors, whoever is making those decisions may tell him, look, if you can't tell us who it is, we can't do anything about this. He may be put in a real kind of catch-22, rock and a hard place situation.
So I'm going to get to Tanner here in a second, but before I do, Hunter, I have one more question for you just about that. So when it comes to a situation where you've got a guy who says, I don't know, I don't experience it personally, but I know who did. I can give you their names, but it has to be behind closed doors. Would it be better to reveal these names and these people in a closed doors session with a government who potentially – any of those people, and I know I'm playing like conspiracy theorists here, but any one of those people could potentially be part of the conspiracy. We've seen X-Files. We know how it works. Is it safer to reveal that behind closed doors, where the only people that are going to know are the ones that could be directly involved with the conspiracy, or to do it out in public to make these names known to everybody? Therefore, you know, the best way to hide is in plain sight. If you've got a guy and you've revealed his name, but everyone knows that's what he's part of, is he less likely to be retaliated against because it's public, or is it better to do it in a closed door session where their name isn't spread out? What do you think?
I don't think there's a real winning situation here, and I feel bad. I'm going to also deflect on your question and not pick a side, but here's the way of looking at it. You pretty well laid out the major problem with revealing it behind closed doors, right? The other problem comes with almost exactly the argument that we kind of devolved into last Thursday when we talked about this on After Dark. My issue, one of my major issues with the way all this has played out, and I'm not putting the blame on David Grush or the government or Congress or whoever, but the fact that this congressional hearing was public, we as the public then got the version of it that is hard to believe, right? Because this guy says, here's what's happening, but I can't give you any proof. I can tell somebody who has it, but not you guys, and you may never hear any more about it. So we don't really get anything. It's hard to latch onto other than a personal, again, just like this show is titled, want to believe.
Yeah.
So if he goes behind closed doors and he gives this information, and the people who receive it are part of a cover up, are not interested in doing anything with it, don't actually take it seriously, or somehow get, you know, paid off along the process to act like they took it seriously and go, oh, we couldn't find anything, then that in and of itself is a problem. The other problem, of course, comes from doing the opposite, like you said, revealing this information in a large public manner. While yes, he can sort of hide in plain sight, and if something happens to him, then the conspiracies are going to kick in all over again, you also put him at risk for the public themselves, because not everyone is as rational as we are, right?
Right.
There are people like us, but on the opposite side of the coin, who will go, this guy knows what I need to know, I've been waiting my whole life to find this information, and I'll do anything that it takes to get that information. Now you've put him at risk from people who are not you like to believe that the people in power are sane and rational enough to use that power and information wisely. When you release it to the public, you create a much larger sample size that you can't control as well.
If you had a situation that wasn't extraterrestrial by nature, let's say there was just an accusation of misappropriation or war crimes or something like that against the United States government, and they put that in front of a congressional hearing like they did this gentleman, and it was kind of the same thing of, I know these things that happened, I know the names of the people this affected, but I can't give it to you in person. Do you think people would be more likely to go, okay, that sounds legit, more so than they are with this, simply based on the topic itself, that it's more easy to believe, it's easier to believe that the United States has, you know, worked against its own people in some way versus that they're hiding an extraterrestrial cover-up? Or do you think it would be seen roughly the same of, this guy went in front of Congress, he didn't give us anything, I'm suspect to the situation as a whole?
Well, this becomes part of the problem of the larger overall question, right? Because really what we're getting at here is, what is it going to take for people to believe that aliens are real?
Right.
And my answer to that has been, just like it was the other day, not even for them to be right in front of them, but for them to threaten them with physical or existential
harm. To be affected directly.
Yes. Yeah. To be directly affected by this sort of thing. And I don't mean, oh, they aliens killed my brother. I mean, aliens are threatening you with death. Then right. You're more likely to believe it right in your face. So I don't know that either of these things is going to be more commanding. I think you have people who, like us, already want to believe, and they're going to take any bit of information they can and latch onto it. I think you have others who, as we've joked about with the Steven Duke Nukem video for a couple of days,
those
now are going to go,
bastards,
right, they're real, are they going to help me pay rent? Like, this is like the, you know,
I've been going the joke stuff,
I've believed that aliens are real since I was a kid until the government told me, and now I'm not so sure. Which, again, importantly, the government didn't say that. A guy who was associated with the government said it, and now that's the real question. But, I mean, and I do want to tack on this other little bit of information here from that story that's important to kind of shape the rest of this conversation, that that AARO organization I was talking about, Sue Go, I assume it's Go. It looks like Van Gogh.
It's like Michael Go, former Alfred.
Or Goff. Yeah.
I have some friends with that last name. It was Goff. But
I was going to say, it's Go or Goff, I'm assuming. Anyway, she's a spokeswoman for the AARO, and she has said specifically that their office, and this is through the Pentagon, quote, has not discovered any verifiable information to substantiate claims that any programs regarding the possession or reverse engineering of extraterrestrial materials have existed in the past or exist currently. She's also very clear that they are, quote, committed to timely and thorough reporting to Congress. Because, again, part of this conversation is also basically that these organizations are not doing their jobs. This is the reason, and this is what I was looking for last Thursday. This is the reason, I think, and maybe it's just speculation on my part, but that Grush was able to even bring this up at a committee hearing. It's basically not, hey, you guys need to go talk to, you know, Congress, you need to talk to these guys because aliens are real and they're not telling you. It's more nuanced than that. It's, you're giving them money to run a program and they're not telling you everything that they're finding or that they know or that they're doing. They're not reporting to you regularly. They're falsifying reports.
Which, by the way,
it's kind of the Jimmy Hoffa tax evasion thing. We all know Jimmy Hoffa was killing people, but we're going to get him on politics.
And by the way, if that's true, that they aren't reporting everything and that it's conspiracy, of course they would say, oh, we have no verifiable information and we're very thorough in our job. Well, of course you're going to say that.
Right.
But
that becomes a lose-lose situation too, because if it's true, then they have to say it because they're telling the truth. And if it's not true, then they're still going to lie.
it's one of those things, man. The courts are a thing.
Catch 22.
Courts are a thing. Yep. Congress is a thing. But the court of public opinion is the biggest thing. And there is a place you cannot win. Tanner, first off, do you think that putting this in front of Congress on the scale that they have, that putting this in front of television, does this help or hurt the cause more? Because on the one hand, we are very up on the fact that, okay, now they're talking about this in public. They're talking about this like a serious thing. It's finally being treated seriously. But as I talk about it more, I could see the potential for harm on the cause, because now more than ever, people are literally, it's that thing Hunter just said. I believed my whole life aliens were real until the government told me so. And now you do see people turning on it and going, well, if the government's talking about it, then it's probably not real. I no longer believe. First off, before we get into the deeper, do you think this helps or hurts the cause that you and I have championed for so long?
I think it goes either way. Because what I think he's doing is what you just talked about. Like, I don't think he's whistleblowing and saying, hey, they're lying about aliens not being real. I think what he's doing is saying, hey, you know, this is what's been found. They're not reporting this. You need to check into this. But I think more so, I think it's going to help the cause. Because, like you said, there are people out there going to be like, well, the government's saying this. I don't believe it now. Yeah, there's people like that. But I don't think... I don't know. I feel like there's nothing for him to gain by coming out with something like this.
No, absolutely. I agree with you on that. Like, that's one thing when it comes to testimony, that you want to give the benefit of the doubt to the person that is going in front of these people and saying these things, because in your head you think, well, what's he going to get out of this? Notoriety, for sure, but is it a notoriety that you want? Do you want to be the guy that went in front of Congress and lied or said these outlandish things and made yourself a target of ridicule, made yourself a martyr, potentially? What is the reason behind it? And so in my head, I want to go, okay, this guy went before Congress. He's under oath. He's testifying. Therefore, I want to believe him. But Hunter, you know, and I know, and Tanner knows, everyone knows, Yellow Dog knows, that people lie all the time. And sometimes, you know, I remember watching, Maury Povich. I watched Montel Williams. Shows where people would go on and talk about their experiences with extraterrestrials. Say they've been abducted, say whatever. And they would say the most out there things that you would go, why would anyone go in public and lie like this? Because all it does is make you look terrible. But they do every single day. They go out and lie. So when people lie...
Those important notes on shows like that, though. Those people are getting paid to make claims like that, to come on and look like that. I mean...
Yeah, but who would... But even that, who would do that? Who would take money to go on a show... Other than Austin Lane on Jerry Springer, who would go?
I was about
on...
to say, who would take money to go on a show and act like you're this total white trash and been sleeping with your wife's friend, whatever.
So, first of all, I don't want to outright dismiss, because again, I think there's some validity to the idea that certainly just because someone's under oath doesn't mean they're telling the truth.
Right.
People get not charged with, well, I guess charged perjury. With perjury, and then of course, they perjured themselves. Yeah. I mean, the president of the United States perjured himself back in the 90s. So it's not like it's impossible to do that or that it doesn't ever happen. I also don't want to dismiss outright, you know, what could they possibly have to gain from this? Now, definitely, there's an analogous conversation there to be had about sexual assault, arguments, right? When people say, well, you know, they're doing that just because they want attention. Well, that's generally not the case, right? The data shows that's not the case. But yes, there are things to gain, especially from a situation like this, where it might be analogous, but it's not the same, right? This is a situation where someone can say, I'm going to talk about something that's going to change the course of human history. I know some things that you should know, and or at least I know the people who know them, and I'm going to pass that information along. Going down in history in that way is probably an alluring concept. And I suspect in the wake of this, that over the next few months, depending on what we do and don't hear, there's going to be a lot of discrediting of David Gersh. I think we're going to hear an awful lot of people talking about, or Grush. I thought it was Gersh for a second. Grush. I think we're probably going to start hearing very soon about the things that he did not do well when he was in the service, if they're there to discuss.
But even in a situation sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but even in a situation...
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Even a situation like that where you have the discrediting, even that you can take... many ways. You know, McDonald's discredited the woman that got coffee spilled in her lap. Even though she was still right, they ran a smear campaign that ruined her reputation and turned her into a laughingstock. Could they do the same thing to David Grush? Even if he's telling the truth, will they smear his name? Absolutely, because they're trying to protect their secrets.
Right.
Or,
right. Yeah,
or they're smearing him because he's a liar. It's hard to tell.
Right. Yeah. It's a tactic that plays both ways. So, like I said, I think if there's one thing that you can almost bank on, and I say almost because there was a time when it was pretty much 100% guaranteed you would start hearing negative stuff about this guy. We're now I hate everything to come back to COVID and the pandemic, but in the wake of the past 3 or 4 years and the 24-hour news cycle and a bunch of other factors, we are now so cynical, so jaded, and so divided as a country and generally as a people in matters like this. There's a distinct likelihood that they could go, all right, just weather the storm and this will all blow over. I mean, again,
which it will.
To me, the best evidence of that is that this stuff happened. We mainly got news of this last Wednesday, if I remember correctly, because I remember at the time we had figured out we were not doing PZ85 plays this week. Cody was going to be unavailable. So I said, well, great. We've been talking about doing I Want to Believe. We can do it next Tuesday. Tanner had said, should we maybe do this sooner? Because this is kind of like breaking news and it's a hot big deal.
Topic. Yeah.
And at the time, one of the arguments against that we had was, well, let's wait and see what comes out, right? We talked about it a little bit on Thursday. It went on longer than we anticipated, but it was fresh. It was news, and that's kind of what we do at the beginning of After Dark. But again, you and I both said, hey, let's give this a little time. We'll see if anything else comes out, and maybe then when we talk about it in detail next Tuesday, we'll have a better shape of the picture. The articles that I've been talking about this whole time were posted last week. They were posted within a day or two of that testimony, and there really isn't a lot of new information in the wake of that. One was posted on the 27th, and one was updated on the 28th. So there, we're already kind of seeing this stuff slipping out of the zeitgeist. It came in. It was a huge topic for about a day, which is about as long as we have attention span for in major topics nowadays, unless yes. They're ongoing, like the war in Ukraine, something that's actively happening that we can witness.
Trump.
Sure, yeah, political figures, that kind of thing. But it came in, it was a big deal. We got no new information because I assume that if he hasn't already, David Grush is going behind doors in the future. And that's it. It turned into a meme. It became almost a regular joke, and to the point that even we laughed about it.
Right.
Because in a way, it kind of becomes part of the meme conversation. What can you do? When we get no information and nothing else we can do with it, what can you do?
And I imagine that the United States government loves that. They're probably going, if it's true, they're like, oh, we didn't even have to do anything. That's, my God, right. You know, it's the job of a good journalist. I took journalism. This is one topic I feel like I'm you know, experienced enough to speak on, and I have the credentials. I was a journalist. I took journalism for many years. I've practiced journalism ever since. Good journalists will stop at nothing to get the story. They will dig and dig, and they will report on it, and they will expose the truth. But nowadays, that seems very different. I almost feel like the people that are reporting on this are more reporting on it simply for the... I don't know the right word for it. The... help me out here.
Clout, the attention, the clicks.
The clicks, the attention. They're doing it because it's a major story, but they're not helping with the story.
It's not that they're invested in the information.
They're
it's
invested
that they
in
want the attention for
yeah.
it. Yes, exactly. Yeah. That is, I mean, again, we have lamented time and time again the 24-hour or the 24/7 news cycle.
Right.
And that is a direct byproduct of it. We're no longer digging into topics because they deserve to be reported. We have to have something on the air at all times. I mean, you remember the joke for many years in sitcoms and comedic television was that the local news would end with that squirrel on the water skis in the pool, right? Like that's right. And now in a feel good story, I mean, that's kind of a real thing now. We have so much time and only so many people you can talk to about the same topics that it takes something major and mind blowing to captivate people for a significant period of time. COVID, politics, all that. This is something that we only got so much information about, and that's where it ends.
But you know what's crazy is the culture we live in now that cares more about TikTok celebrities than potential extraterrestrial existence. I remember when Barbie was coming out, the guy that was doing the soundtrack, and I don't remember his name. He's a pretty big music guy. It's Mark Ronson, is that his name? The guy
Yeah, Mark Ronson. He works with Bruno Mars.
Right.
Yeah.
So Mark Ronson was doing this soundtrack, and he posted a thing talking about the last song would be by, like, I forget the exact quote, but it was a hint at who the artist would be. That got so much attention. Just that one statement, it blew up. People are digging. They're doing all of this investigation, trying to figure out who this artist could be. There was so much effort putting in finding out who this last artist on the Barbie soundtrack was, more so than the potential existence of extraterrestrials in our planet, on our planet, and it will always boggle my mind how unimportant the important things are in this day and age.
I know this comes from the meme conversation, but you also know the answer why, though. Again, the existence of extraterrestrials for many people is a, what does that do for me? We current, oh man, I hate using the phrase we live in a society, because that's such a meme too.
We live in a society.
But we have created a culture around us and a societal norm around us that we have to think of ourselves first. Right, especially in this part of the world, we are a capitalistic society. We have to do things to take care of ourselves, to the point that it is ingrained in us from an early age that while you are allowed to spend time on helping others and on doing things that you care about, first and foremost, you have to take care of yourself. There are so many people that are in that situation now and are capable of recognizing that they're in that situation. It's not just financial, it's not just the way that they live or the things that they do day to day, it's mental health, it's the little breaks that they get where they can here and there to, you know, watch 5 or 6 TikTok videos or go on YouTube for half an hour. That's the kind of thing they have time to devote mental energy to, until again there's something directly threatening or beneficial to their way of life in front of them regarding extraterrestrials. They're not going to have the time to devote to it any more than this. I mean, realistically, let's look at this. What the three of us are the kind of people who are devoted to this and we're interested in it. We're also not doing any digging, right? We're also not going in and looking at anything other than surface reports that we've been given.
That's also not our job, though. We're not getting paid for it. Yeah,
exactly. Nobody's getting paid to do these things. That's what I'm talking about. Somebody is absolutely getting paid to find out who did the last song on the Barbie soundtrack because they can sell that story to BuzzFeed and make a ton of money.
Hey.
But this sort of thing, if you go digging into it, you're going to get caught, and then you spend the rest of your life in prison.
Speaking of BuzzFeed, really quick, and then I'm going to throw this to Tanner because I want to hear his thoughts on it. He's been awful quiet. He's messing with something, and I don't know what it is. He keeps looking down.
Probably one of them aliens.
Are you rolling a joint over there?
I'd have laughed my ass off, by the way, if you were holding your kid, your new kid. If I just said he was messing with an alien and he just slowly lifts up a newborn.
Speaking of BuzzFeed, one of my absolute this is off topic, but I need to mention this. One of my absolute favorite stories of the past 5 years was, maybe a little longer than 5 years, was the tale of Adam Ellis. He's a cartoonist and former employee at BuzzFeed. Who did one of my absolute, I keep saying absolute, I shouldn't have smoked.
Okay,
Dear David. The Dear David story of him experiencing this paranormal, you know, almost confrontation with this child with half a head who calls himself Dear Dave, or he calls himself David. And Adam Ellis would post updates about this constantly on his Twitter, and it was fascinating. I love this story. I was obsessed with it. I thought this is one of the greatest ghost stories I've ever heard, and I thought, well, why? And this goes back to, why would someone make that up? Why would someone make that up? Why would Adam Ellis make up this story of this ghost David when he's just going to be ridiculed for it, for the people that don't believe him? Well, I saw a trailer last week for Dear David, coming soon from Lionsgate Films, starring Justin Long, based on a story from Adam Ellis, who says it's based on a real event and that he's never been interested in convincing anyone that ghosts are real. I just want to tell my story. Well, we'll see. It's a movie now, and it's got Justin Long. So I believe Dear David was real until Justin Long starred in it.
I mean, not to get too far into tomorrow's topic, but this is how the Blair Witch... Well, this is the reverse way the Blair Witch got to be a big deal, because they invented a legend, but then they didn't tell anybody about it.
Right. My mom thought it was real. She thought those kids actually died. Yeah, and then
sold the movie. I mean those kids... For a year on IMDb, so did everyone else.
Right.
All three of those actors were listed as missing, presumed dead.
Right.
Granted, I was in fourth grade when this movie came out, and we watched it for the first time.
Still 6'3".
Christ. my dad was getting my hand-me-down. That's how big I was.
Why does this sound like a Jeff Foxworthy?
That was very funny.
Anyway, we all thought it was real. I mean, and then like our parents thought that shit was real. Like,
yeah. Yeah,
you know, it's insane. And
now those other two never really. About
that Tuesday.
Those other two never really appeared in another film, but Heather Donahue.
Heather did, yeah.
She did show up in a little show, Hunter, you may have watched.
Called It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Called It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Yeah.
She's the mother of Charlie's purported kid until he finds out that she's not.
So it turns out she's okay. Okay, Tanner, we've only got about 10 minutes left. Before we get out of here, though, like I said, you've been very quiet, and I know you got a lot to say. Just go. I'm not going to ask any questions. I'm not going to, like, interrupt you. I want to hear your thoughts on this. What do you think?
I am leaning more towards the fact that this may be authentic. And this may be a situation where he 100% believes everything that he's been shown. Whether or not that's true or not, I don't know. So he may be completely telling the truth. Now, what he's seen may be true or not. The other biggest issue I've had is, so like Hunter's, before he read all this last week when we were talking about it, the fact that he wasn't giving this evidence that he was going to give behind closed doors. My biggest thing is he has nothing to prove to the American people. The only people he's got to prove anything to is Congress. That's who he's there talking to.
Yeah, but I'm not in Congress, and I want to know.
I know, and I do too. But that's the big thing. He's there trying to prove this to Congress, so maybe something can be done. And maybe if he has enough evidence, which I think it's always been pretty well known that if anything like this was going on, the amount of people, even in big government, that knows about it would be minuscule. Presidents, maybe to a certain extent, and then the people in charge of the actual programs themselves, obviously. But there would be no reason to share that information with somebody like Congress or
Matt Gaetz. Like, yeah.
So that I think that leads more credence to what's happening here, that he's actually trying to bring forth this information to people in the government who've not been deemed necessary to know. And I don't know if he's scared for his life and not want to get this information out in public settings, or if it's still, like I said on Thursday, that this is just extra classified information that he can't give out yet, or that he can't give out anymore because, he's been disavowed.
Compromised.
So, I mean, it's important to note that because of him doing this, he has lost his position in the government. So I feel like even if he did do something like this just to get like a book deal and start writing a book, the amount of money he's going to make off a book of something like this isn't going to make anywhere near the amount of money he can make off of a full career in government with retirement and everything. So
not this day and age. Clearly, people are just not that interested in interstellar travel.
No. And I mean, and Hunter talked about it earlier that this has turned into a meme, and it has. I can't count how many times I've gotten on Facebook and seen government confirms aliens exist. Not right now, government. Rent's due or something like that, or my bills are too high. I ain't even got time to worry about that. People don't care. And it's probably definitely a case of people believe, they just don't care.
Well, so I know I said I was going to cut you off, but I want to just for a second, because I always talk about one of my absolute favorite cases of a UFO sighting, UAP sighting, what have you, is and always will be the Phoenix Lights. Phoenix Lights in the late 90s, seen over Phoenix, Arizona, seen by lots of people, video, multiple days, one of the most infamous sightings of all time. But then a couple years ago, the accusation came out that this sighting was actually broadcast, that this was faked by the government to get attention away from the real things that they're doing. Now, there's no proof of that. That's just the accusation from people that quote-unquote know, like David Grush, quote-unquote, knows. So is this another one of those things where you put a guy in front to say, hey, these things are real, and then that makes people just not believe it? Like, is this almost like reverse psychology by the government to stop people from looking into UFOs by flat out telling them, hey, we know UFOs are real, and then they go, oh, well, then they ain't real?
So just real quick trivia about the Phoenix Lights, bringing it up again. Obviously, there was, along with everybody in Phoenix that witnessed the event happening, you know, there were pilots that witnessed as well. Do you know the name of one of those pilots, Shannon O'Hara?
Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell. Kurt Russell was one of the pilots that witnessed the Phoenix Lights. And I know he had no reason to come forward talking about it. I mean, he's not going to gain anything from that.
Yeah, but he's weird.
I look, you watch your mouth.
I mean, no, in a good way. In a good way.
But, yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. I don't think he has as much to gain from this as a lot of people think he does. I'm ready to see what happens next. And granted, now that this has happened, we probably won't see anything for another 2 years. But I think what's happened, what's been said, is it's big enough that it should be a bigger deal now, which, you know, we've been saying. It's just sad that this is where we're at now, that, you know, here we are a week removed from it happening. No one's talking about it. I never once seen it on a front page of a news site.
It wasn't even top story on CNN. It was buried about halfway down the website. Tanner, really quick, we've mentioned this story before. I found something out today I didn't know, and I'm not saying it's connected, but I thought it was interesting. Everybody, of course, knows Roswell in 1947, but we know there was an earlier crash. Where was that at?
That would be in Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
In what year?
1941.
Do you know when the Cape Girardeau Regional Airport was opened?
No, I don't.
1943 by the United States Army, by the United States Air Force. They opened up the Cape Regional Airport at 2 years, a little over a year, after the recovery of that UFO. I just thought that was odd.
You ready for something more odd?
It's so odd I can't even. Go ahead.
That's right around the area that is believed the crash happened.
Well, there you go. Aliens are real. Confirmed. Tanner doesn't have the evidence, but he knows a guy that does, and he will reveal it on Xbox Live, but he can't do it on the show.
Right. Also, another important thing to note that amongst these hearings and everything, that it was brought to light that the earliest known interaction, I don't know if it was at the hearing or if it was in some of the documents they released, but the earliest known contact, recovery, anything, happened in the 1930s. So this has been going on a lot longer than people think.
You missed the Xbox Live chat with me and Hunter and Kaz, where I started talking to them about the accord that the Greys had with Eisenhower, about the underground base battle between extraterrestrials, and apparently that was all in a season of American Horror Story. Because as I'm saying it, Kaz is like, that's just the plot of the show I watched. I guess Kaz didn't know that it was allegedly a real thing that they took and put in that show. Here's the thing. All right, I could sit here and talk about this for the next 3 hours, but we'll just be spinning our wheels. We'll just be regurgitating the same things over and over again, because between Thursday and this, there's really not a lot to say based on what we have now. But here's the thing. This is something we're going to be following regardless of its outcome. Whether this is the this could be the beginning of literally everything changing for American history, or sorry, for human history. This could be the beginning of something absolutely mind-blowing, or it could be nothing. We don't know.
And I want to clarify again before we go that, like, David Grush doesn't actually have any evidence.
No.
Okay, that much we know, because he said as much.
He knows a guy.
What he said effectively is that he knows where these things are located, or he knows the people you should talk to. But when we talk about him not presenting evidence to the public, what I mean is he does not have anything physical that he can show. He does not have photographs. He does not have a piece of an alien craft or whatever. And this was my big problem with the way that this is actually mostly what, if you want a crash course of what we talked about last Thursday, my big problem with this, and I'm not blaming anybody specific because I don't know who makes the decision to make these things public or whatever, Jessica, was that I don't think he makes those decisions either, was that this congressional hearing was broadcast to the public and we were given a piece of information without any evidence that we are unlikely to ever get, because again, he can only reveal these things behind closed doors. What I was saying then, and what I think really actually led to a lot of the conversation where we were all in disagreement and not necessarily for good reason, is because I'm not saying he shouldn't have said it. I'm saying that it's frustrating that that evidence, or that, I'm sorry, that those claims are made with no evidence to back them up. In the sense that we will not see that evidence. So what we as the public are getting is, here's a thing that I know is true. I can't prove it to you, though.
Well,
and I'm never going to be able to prove it to you unless the government decides to. Now, something we didn't talk about earlier that I think we should tack onto this, though, is FOIA exists. In the wake of 9/11, the Freedom of Information Act has been used constantly to get declassified information. Is it usually useful? No, because they still have the power to redact an awful lot of information.
And they do. A lot.
And they do, and they will. But that, to me, is where the next step of this goes. Once David Grush actually reveals something to the people in power, which, by the way, I was going to note earlier, and I don't know that there's anything to this, but if you look at the CBS story, the Congress people who responded to this and said they wanted more, all the quoted ones are Republicans.
Yeah,
Tim Burchett from Tennessee said, we're going to uncover the cover-up. I hope this is the beginning of many more hearings and people come forward. There were a couple more here, and I don't have them right in front of me, but he was the first one that was listed. And then there were more that again, I don't know. To me, it was weird that they were all specifically from here we go. No, I'm sorry. This one's a Democratic rep, but Jared Moskowitz from Florida said, we should have disclosure today. We should have tomorrow. The time has come. Glenn Grothman, who's a GOP rep, said, quote, several of us are going to look forward to getting some answers in a more confidential setting. And I assume some legislation will come out of this. So, I mean, to me, that is the best possible takeaway.
Yeah.
That's the best thing that happens here, is that the people who want more information get it, and that they can actually do something with it.
Now,
but I don't want to importantly include in that list, because I guess I didn't quote or anything, but I sat and watched almost the entire hearing itself, but like even AOC was right there asking questions and wanting to know the truth about all this and wanting somebody. So this is a bipartisan thing. Like, both parties are like on the same, like, please give us all the details. We want to know the truth.
Right, because they should. Like, again, man, whether you think this is alien or not, we're still talking about a country of, we're one of the most advanced countries when it comes to our military, when it comes to our technology, et cetera, et cetera. And we're going up against crafts and potentially beings that are things we don't know and we can't understand and we can't comprehend. And it's, I mean, this guy flat out said was of non-human origin, which is scary in itself. But whether that's true or not, it's still a fact that these things exist and we don't know what they are. The Tic Tac UFO is real. These UFOs that people are filming are real. They're doing things that we don't know how to do that, you know, as far as our limited brains and knowledge goes, they are impossible. And yet here they are actually doing it.
And importantly, something we've said a lot of times to wrap up these kinds of stories, and I think is important that we note here, is that even if they're not extraterrestrial in origin, again,
it's still,
they're real. The video is there. There's no reason to fake these videos. If it was something popping up on YouTube at random, sure. Yeah. The technology exists now for any yokel to put together a ghost video, an alien video, whatever.
Yes.
But these are things that are recorded by, you know, major entities and have no reason, again, to really fake them.
And legally can't.
No, plausible,
in some cases.
Right. I was going to say, no plausible one, and really would risk a lot of issues if they did. So if we take that at face value, something is going on there. Even if it's not extraterrestrial, we need to know, because that means potentially another country has technology that outpaces ours.
Exactly.
Or someone, a private entity, you know, that's even the possibly more dangerous. A private entity is capable of doing these things, and they're not telling people, which means they're violating airspace, they're making flights dangerous for commercial airlines, all those sorts of things. A lot of the times, these things could turn out to be a bird, trash, whatever. But these ones we're talking about specifically, these are not. They're moving and acting in ways that don't make sense to what we're capable of doing.
Right.
So we need to know more about them, whether they're alien in origin or not.
And if they are alien in origin, well, that just opens up a whole new world, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Suddenly it doesn't seem so far away or so crazy. I do have bad news for the people on the right, though. If you are investigating these claims and if you're interested, well, forget about it. You're not going to hear about UFOs for another 7 or 8 months, because Donald Trump was just indicted over efforts to overturn the 2020 election. 4 more counts of indictment. Tanner. Yep. So forget about aliens. You ain't hearing about it for a while. It's going to be Donald Trump day in, day out. I watched a porno once where the great actress April O'Neil, who I follow on Instagram and I've followed for years. I think she's a wonderful person. She loves pinball. She was playing April O'Neil in Wood Rocket's parody of the Ninja Turtles. I think it was called 10 Inch Mutant Ninja Turtles or something like that. Now, for the record, I've never actually watched this porno. That was a joke. But I did see the trailer. And in the trailer, April O'Neil gets on TV and she simply looks in the camera and goes, Trump, 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 Trump. Amen. Bye, aliens. Hello, Trump. We're back, baby. That's it for us tonight. We're going to bail out of here. Now, of course, anything that we find out, anything that breaks, we will cover. We got you covered. Stay tuned to Podzilla 1985, where we check and recheck the facts as long as we have time to. Tomorrow, we do have a new episode of Extras and Epilogues. It's the three that you see right here. We're going to talk about the Blair Witch Project, which we went into the show thinking was an absolute classic. Hunter disagrees. I can't wait tomorrow to hear the thought process behind it, because I also have similar thoughts to it. I think we're going to agree on a couple things. Thursday is an all-new After Dark. We got a new top five. Friday's Horse Time. Wait, we're not doing Thursday. It's my birthday. I don't know.
I'm not doing Friday. That'll just be you and Kaz.
God, might just be Kaz and an extraterrestrial for all we know. Look,
well, he wouldn't believe it if it was.
Well, no, because there's no proof. Just a bunch of a malarkey, as our president would say. Look, we're going to do some shows later this week, or we won't. We'll see what happens. Until then, for myself, for Tanner, for Hunter, thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back soon with another I Want to Believe as soon as something else happens. But until then, the UFO is closed. We'll see you guys soon. And Hunter, more importantly now than ever, remember to watch the skis.
Guys.
Wait, what'd I say?
Later.